the latest in heavy burkas. All in
Blog Talk Radio.
Said he was a righteous man. Before the people invite this man to make new world policies, the same laws they never will see. Except to support righteous man. Why did the people invite this man to make new world policies? Somebody help me please understand.
Oh Lord, can't believe I voted for him. Said he threw the troops back. Now the man's condoning torture. It's not that I expected much. I knew he'd be a puppet. I just wanted so badly to believe that he wasn't heartless. But his whole committee mad at an avenue. Treason ready, passing bills, leaving Joe the plumber in Tent City. Mr. President, if I could ask you one simple question, is how could you make Timothy Guyton the head of the Treasury? You know what? Never mind, I get it. You don't even have to say. You're just a spokesman, right? Same snake, new face. Ain't the Hope for Change campaign. Seriously, that was clever. Cause hope is just a word, and you're the best lie ever. That's 16 months. And start bringing him back, but you haven't. You've expanded. Now you're trying to pass a draft. You said you cared about our families, but now it's clear to see that you don't give a fuck about us. All you care about is wealth, not peace, not dreams. Certainly not me, but I don't see you as my chief. You're just a white collar thief, another Tavistock production, trilateral connection, a Bilderberg commercial, and kissing just little messenger. I heard you with Kennedy, yes. I'm thinking more like Mussolini with the youth brigades and stars. Yeah, just call him out, see him, and say yes we can, yes we can, yes we can. What? I just got one more question. Hey Obama, where you taking?
The righteous man. Before the people invite this man to make newer policies, the same laws they never will see. Except to support righteous man. Why did the people invite this man to make newer policies? Somebody help me please understand.
Yeah, a black man in a white place. Yo, the Uncle Tom of my space. Yeah, yo, I'm glad I went and said it. I'll say it and I'll say it loud. Yo, fuck the president. Ooh. No sucker boo, this silly cat's trying to rob you. Yo, say what? Yo, what you mean he trying to get us? An intelligent black man, I think you're jealous. Yo, sucker, please go do your research. The big new and Kissinger were his teachers. Yo, why you gotta go and hate on a brother? You know that's what they want us to do to each other. Yo, true that, but the truth takes precedence. All anyone can really do is weigh the evidence. And if you can't see the Wall Street cronies claiming all the turf for themselves and they homies, then you about to get jacked for your home. When you out on the street and you can't get a loan, and catch you thinking, would you do it again? Give your vote to a black man just because he said he was a righteous man.
The sort of people invite this man to make newer policies, the same laws you never will see. Except to support righteous man. Why did the people invite this man to make newer policies? Somebody help me please understand.
Oh, no, you're not the righteous man, no, no. Oh, no, you're not the righteous man, no.
Oh, winter's day. With my friend the dove, the prompter.
I stand alone, gazing out among you, watching you watch me. It's creepy, but it's too late. You chose me. I am Barack. I'm the Messiah. Talk of love and brotherhood with a mob. I'll send Hillary to negotiate. What they need is friendship, and friendship causes pain. Israel and Hamas, they're both the same. I am Barack. I'm the Messiah. We already have your trousers, the shirt off of your back. What makes you think I'm satisfied with that? I'm Barack, I'm the Messiah. And Barack feels your pain, and I think you'll be surprised.
I'm Barack,
and I am the Messiah.
And now, Halloween at the Obama
but we're not
household.
Done.
Trick or treat!
Hey, how are you kids doing? I guess you want some candy.
Yeah!
But first, I think you'll agree, we need some fundamental fairness in candy distribution.
What?
We need to spread the candy around so that it's fair for everyone.
Okay.
See, it works like this. First, I'll take all of your candy and put it into my bag. And now you're a pirate, just like the people on Wall Street, who represent nothing but corporate greed. And you're a princess, and princesses are rich, right?
Right.
And rich folks got that way by oppressing us.
Huh?
Well, out of this whole bag of candy, I think both of you deserve 2 pieces each.
But that's not fair.
We've been walking around for hours.
Now, I never said there wouldn't be sacrifices. And don't you want to share your candy with the hobos and the clowns?
No.
No.
Why do you get to keep all our candy?
Because I represent the government. And I like Milk Duds. Happy Halloween!
But I'm not really a princess!
Come on, let's egg his house.
Okay, today's date is... Oops. Forgot about that one. Today's date is September 14th, 2011, A.D., Washington, D.C., United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. There's been a very busy news day today. Wow, a lot of stuff going on. We're going to talk about much of it. First of all, Obama's new website. Obama launched a misinformation website where folks can call in and if they see something, say something. If they hear something, say something about it, talk about it, let them know. Does that sound appropriate to you? Does it sound like we're living here in the United States of America where we have folks who are tattling on other people? If you hear any misinformation or if you hear anybody saying something bad about the Messiah, let us all know. Say something about it. It launched a new website, folks, to handle misinformation against Obama. Does that sound anything like the Third Reich, Hitler? Where folks were afraid to say anything bad about Adolf Hitler. I was watching the Military Channel late last night, and there was this seven or eight episode expose on Hitler. And then when I heard about this story yesterday, I thought, what? It seems as though some of the same things are happening. And folks say, well, you know, he's just trying to do the best he can. He's just doing his job. He's not a socialist. He's not a Marxist. He's just trying to clean up Bush's mess. Why start a misinformation website? Forming the first line of defense against a barrage of misinformation won't be easy. Mr. Messina writes, Jim Messina. It's called attackwatch.com. Mr. Messina wrote in a fundraising email to campaign supporters, and I quote, "Our success will depend on a team of researchers and writers to stay on the lookout for false claims about the president and his record. Bring you the facts and hold our opposition accountable." Wow. Wow. Misinformation about the president's record. The truth is stranger than fiction. So there's no need for misinformation. Attackwatch.com, fighting back with the facts. With their facts, they shouldn't even be putting up a fight. They should be running for the hill. Facts? Oh, my God. So now, only a day after this outrageous website has been established, news is circling in the blogosphere that the site has become the laughingstock of the internet. And it's all over the news. Not only Fox News, but other news sources. And I'll cite an article in the Washington Post by Elizabeth Flock. It goes on to read, as the 2012 presidential campaign heats up, President Obama's campaign team has set up a new website, attackwatch.com, to challenge negative statements about the president made by Republican presidential candidates and conservatives. Obama for America National Field Director Jeremy Byrd told ABC News that the site's goal is to offer, quote, resources to fight back against attacks. How would these people fight back, I wonder? Well, they just have information, their own misinformation about Barack to counter what they consider to be misinformation. Mostly that means fact-checking statements from the likes of GOP presidential contenders Mitt Romney and Rick Perry, the conservative commentator Glenn Beck, my main man, good friend, and offering evidence to the contrary. The site is designed to, in bold red and black colors, and uses statements like, quote, support the truth, end quote, and, quote, fighting the smears, end quote. Now, the response to this site has been less than stellar. No doubt. Obama's campaign has adopted the harsh tag attackwatch.com. Attack Watch, to organize its efforts on Twitter. But on Wednesday, the harsh tag was largely being used by conservatives complaining about the new site. Yeah, I'll give you an example. Dear Attack Watch, I have no specific complaints at this moment. Barack Obama just sucks, generally speaking. Tweeted conservative blogger Dan Ryle. Twitter used John Hayward's tweet. Dear Attack Watch, I just saw several people refuse to eat their peas. Do you have a SWAT team? Several people refuse to eat their peas. That's clever. So the Obama team has heralded for its revolutionary use. They've been heralded for their revolutionary use of Twitter in conducting voter and constituent outreach. But by going on offense with Attack Watch, Obama, carrying a 33% troop approval rating, according to the Bloomberg poll released today, inadvertently gave the public campaign approval outlet to mock him in 140 characters or less. My, how the mighty have fallen. Can you imagine? Dude is stepping, putting his foot in it every single chance he gets. Richard Martin writes in the chat room, Obama's opponents are still making false claims against him and his record in an attempt to derail our momentum. Exactly what momentum? Richard writes, what momentum are they talking about? Like the flat tire flopping around on a rim with a couple of lug nuts missing? Indeed. I tell you what, 40% and falling. Hey, take a listen to this Barack Obama parody. It just happens to fall in line with his 33% approval rating. We'll be back in just a moment, y'all.
How high is your polls, Obama?
70% and rising.
How high is your polls, Obama?
They're 70% and rising. My acorn friends helped me get the vote. My inauguration, it was full of hope. I got a teleprompter with all my notes. 70% and rising.
How high is your polls, Obama?
60% and falling.
How high is your polls, Obama?
Around 60% and falling. Well, I apologize to the Middle East. Got tough with the Russians till I said pretty please. But I'm still blaming Bush for the economy. 60% and falling.
How high is your polls, Obama?
50% and falling.
How high is your polls, Obama?
Almost 50% and falling. Of course, the health care plan threw on Capitol Hill. The national debt's up to $13 trillion. Shouldn't have brought up that immigration bill. 50% and falling.
How high is your polls, Obama?
40% and falling.
How high is your polls, Obama?
I said 40% and falling. Between my general's mouth and oil in the Gulf, I had no idea it would be this tough. Does this mean America's had enough when it's 40% and falling?
Yeah, it's 40% and falling.
40% and falling. He's at 33% right now. And if Obama, by the way, we're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. If Obama didn't have enough problems at putting his foot firmly up his own ass with this attack watch deal, plus the problem he's got with that green energy place that soaked up $1 billion in change, and going into a plant earlier today touting the beautiful deal that is, when the plant is mostly farming out all its work to another country. So in addition to all that, we know that President Obama anticipated Republican resistance to his job program. He pretty much counted on it, because for him, it's all about making the Republicans look bad, having someone else to blame once again, Congress, and then saying, hey, you know, it's not my fault. I'm doing all I can. But those Republicans refuse to go along with my plans. They won't help the American people. Those evil Republicans, they just want to help the rich. They refuse to help me to help you. So please help me get back into office and then vote them out, and then we'll deal with this matter. That's what he's counting on. But see, here the problem lies. In anticipating Republican resistance so that he may have someone to blame, the boogeyman, he's now meeting increasing pushback from his own party. Many congressional Democrats, smarting from the fallout over the 2009 stimulus bill, say there's little chance they'll be able to support the bill as a single entity, citing an array of elements they cannot abide. So this whole the whole thing where he's meeting with a joint session of Congress, getting out on the world stage once again, on the American stage and the world, and putting out these lavish job proposals, kind of like a hostage taker who makes outrageous demands, expectations to be met, knowing they won't be. Obama put out the demands knowing fully well that they wouldn't be met, so that he'd have somebody to blame. The plan just fell through today. I'm going to give you a quote here. The latest on President Obama and the new Congress and the news from Washington and around the nation. Quote, I think the American people are very skeptical of big pieces of legislation, said Senator Robert Casey, Democrat from Pennsylvania. In an interview Wednesday, he said that in an interview Wednesday today, joining a growing chorus of Democrats who prefer an a la carte version of the bill, despite White House resistance to that approach. So Casey said, for that reason alone, I think we should break it up. And then Senator Harry Reid from Nevada, the majority leader, has said he will put the bill on the legislative calendar, but has declined to say when. He almost certainly will push the bill, no doubt, which Mr. Obama urged Congress to pass right now. But he's going to wait till the end of the month. Mr. Reid has said votes on disaster aid, funding extension to the Federal Aviation Administration, and a short-term spending plan ahead of the jobs bill. So, I suppose we can honestly say that Obama's master plan has fallen through. Because how will he be able to blame the Republicans for this, for not passing his bill? He's out on the stump right now, right now. Blaming Republicans, blaming Congress for not passing his bill, demanding that his bill be passed. And Axelrod went on the news on Sunday saying it's all or nothing at all. All or nothing. So I guess Obama just really outsmarted himself here. He's not going to get what he wants. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, I agree with some of this stuff. I agree. But certainly not all of it. I certainly don't agree with extending the unemployment compensation deal again. But there are other parts of Obama's plan that sound pretty good, but certainly not the idea of taxing to pay for it. Because then you simply cut off your nose to spite your face. If you're going to tax businesses in order to pay for businesses to hire people, well, you're taking money out of their right pocket to put in their left. There's no incentive there. And now, today, it begins. There are folks who are saying that Obama should just quit. Quit. This morning, John Fun was on the WMAL-AM, the talk show radio powerhouse here in Washington, D.C., and he mentioned that nobody in Democratic circles is defending Obama anymore. Buyer's remorse is everywhere. Essentially, only those actually working for the administration or Democrat Party trapped inside the Alamo are defending the fort now. Anyone can guess when they might start turning the guns on each other, perhaps starting from the bottom up. Fun thought there's a chance that a committee of senior Democrats might go to Obama in a few months and tell him it might be best not to even run for re-election. Wow, who knows? At least the disappointment would be bipartisan if that happened. With White House loyalists and the GOP both upset, Obama wouldn't be on the ballot in November. My, how the mighty have fallen. Can you believe, would you have believed just a year ago that Obama, that there would be strong consideration to asking Obama not to even run this time around? There's panic. There's panic in the air. Misinformation websites, attackwatch.com, now this scandal growing with his green jobs business. And now, even worse, a congressional seat in New York City, in a district in New York City, going Republican for the first time since 1922. Poor Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Her excuse was somewhere along the lines of, well, you know, that district in New York is a hard district to defend. Since when was that? Since 1922? Maybe it was hard to defend in 1922. Maybe that's what she meant. But her words made no sense whatsoever, which they seldom do. She said that the district that went to the Republicans just last night was a hard district to defend. Since 1922, I suppose. Wow. It's gone topsy-turvy. Obama is not going to be the comeback kid. Dude has made a colossal mess of this nation, folks. It's out there. He's out there where the buses aren't running anymore. My main man, Andrew Breitbart, over at the Bigs, has the same observation as Fund. He went on to say, I predict a tectonic shift among American Jews and within the Democrat Party if Obama doesn't quietly retire. All the spinning in the world can't spin away the trend of Scott Brown, the Tea Party victory of November 2010, and now the Turner earthquake, which is what it's called. Many Democrats are waking to the reality that their party has been hijacked by a radicalism completely unfamiliar to their parents and grandparents' Democrat Party. Hey, socialism doesn't work in this country. It just doesn't. Nobody's buying that deal here. Not here, not now, not ever. What made Obama think that it was going to work? That he was going to be able to fundamentally transform the United States of America? Did he really believe that he would be able to do that in 4 years or 8 years? Sure, he's been trying. Oh yeah, he's been trying very hard. But it's not working out the way he planned. Because even Democrats don't want to be socialist. A lot of them don't. A lot of them don't. And then, the way he treated Bibi Netanyahu, when the district in New York is pretty much a Jewish district, he's done. Stick a fork in Barack Obama. He's done. Does anybody disagree? Do you believe that perhaps he'll stage a miraculous comeback? That he'll somehow bring us out of this deal? You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report, or Situation Report. I still haven't gotten it down yet, but I will. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. We'll be right back.
This is the Dr. C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. Weekdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on the WOW Radio Network.
Good morning, January 20th, 2017, the last day of Barack Obama's 8 years as president.
8 tough years for many as unemployment continues climbing.
With debt to China reaching record levels, some analysts believe the Chinese have overtaken the United States.
8 years ago, we were promised hope. Today, many believe their American dream has been lost.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
While you're
of you every day and night.
Bye-bye, so long, farewell. Bye-bye, so long.
See you in November. See you when your term is through.
Want some candy?
Yeah!
But first, I think you'll agree, we need some fundamental fairness in candy distribution.
What?
We need to spread the candy around so that it's fair for everyone.
Okay.
See, it works like this. First, I'll take all of your candy and put it into my bag. And now you're a pirate. Just like the people on Wall Street, who represent nothing but corporate greed. And you're a princess, and princesses are rich, right?
Right!
And rich folks got that way by oppressing others.
Huh?
So out of this whole bag of candy, I think both of you deserve 2 pieces each.
But that's not fair!
We've been walking around for hours!
I never said there wouldn't be sacrifices. And don't you want to share your candy with the hobos and the clowns?
No.
No.
Why do you get to keep all our candy?
Because I represent the government. And I like milk duds. Happy Halloween!
But I'm not really a princess!
Come on, let's egg his house.
And that's one of my favorites. Hey, we're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. The call-in number again is 347-884-8500. Okay, so that parody I played, Paul Shanklin, all of these parodies are Paul Shanklin parodies. If you go to paulshanklin.com, check them out, you get some of his parodies. They're really great. They're most Paul Shanklin started, is a former comedian who hooked up with my main man Rush Limbaugh back in 1988, and has done parodies for the Rush Limbaugh show ever since. And he's got some great parodies out there. If any of you blog talk radio host shows are looking for some really cool parodies for your shows, I recommend highly Paul Shanklin's website and get some of the parodies there. They are really cool. I just got a new batch in today. I have every single parody that Shanklin's ever done. I just decided, hey, it would probably be a good idea if I just, you know, played a few on the show every now and then, and you know, so folks will know who Paul is, and they'll get a chance to listen to some of his stuff if you don't listen to Rush. All right, so back to the show. Even Republicans rejected info about Barack Obama's past. The reason we played that parody is because of this next segment. What would you do if you knew that the top Democrat running for president was lying about his past? This is a fact that John Drew was faced with in 2008. He'd met the young Barack Obama while he was a sophomore at Occidental College, and he knew that his commitment to socialism was deep, genuine, and longstanding. He goes on to say, I'd been a leader of the Marxist students at Occidental College myself, starting in 1976, when I founded the precursor to the Democrat Socialist Alliance on campus. The young Obama I knew was a Marxist socialist who would have been quite comfortable with the Communist Party members like his Hawaiian mentor, Frank Marshall Davis, retired domestic terrorists like Bill Ayers, or active socialist politicians like Illinois State Senator Alice Palmer. He goes on to say, the Obama I knew was nothing like the lifelong pragmatic centrist that he was pretending to be in the 2008 presidential campaign. He goes on to say further, when I talked politics with the young Obama, he expressed a profound commitment to bringing about a socialist economic system in the U.S., completely divorced from the profit motive, which would occur in his lifetime through a potentially violent communist-style revolution. In this context, I saw my report on the young Obama as a key piece of evidence suggesting a profound continuity in his belief system. Can you imagine? Finally, there are folks who are coming out who knew Barack Obama, who are stating quite factually that Obama is a committed socialist, a Marxist, and very comfortable with a communist, socialist, Marxist, whatever you want to say, overthrow of our economic system. It's finally come out. Honestly, finally, we're hearing from people who knew Obama way back when he was a young college student, not just the, you know, oh, good old Barry, we'll smoke a blunt, you know, we'll have a good time, you know, smoke some cigs, you know, that kind of thing. No, these are folks who are members of the party. Now, I'm not sure what this, quote, party member, end quote, why he's coming out and throwing his buddy Obama under the bus. We'll find out, because I'm going to go ahead and read further from his piece. He goes on to say, although I was surprised by Barack Obama's insistence on his mainstream ideological credentials, I was shocked that my attempts to spread the news about young Obama's Marxism failed to gain any media traction with reporters, activists, or campaign staffs during the 2008 presidential campaign. Hey, let me ask something. Is it possible that the media, that the Obama supporters would also like to see the overthrow of our system for a socialist system or Marxist system? Is it possible that these people are not truly true believers, that they know what Barack Obama is all about? They know that his agenda is to overthrow our system of government, our system of finance, our capitalist system, and that's what they want as well? Could they all be in league? Not a conspiracy, mind you, but simply they know what he wants and to help him inadvertently. Could that be possible? All right. He goes on to write, Mr. John Drew goes on to write, once I saw the significance of my face-to-face observations of the young Obama, I went out of my way to get my story on record with the Orange County Register. He goes on to say, I tried to contact, among others, Ann Coulter, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, the folks behind the Swiftboat ads, and the McCain campaign. He says, I thought I would get phone calls back from Fox News, somewhere, someone, somewhere, and I still did not understand why no one seemed to catch on to the urgency of the situation. He says, I understand that I did not have audio tape of young Obama. I did not have any photos or home movies. Nevertheless, I was extremely active in the leftist politics and counterculture of Occidental College in the 70s. As a young man, I had earned a PhD in political science from Cornell, which I would think gave me some credibility in measuring young Obama's ideological convictions. I quickly saw that other people who had known the young Obama were featured in various news articles. It seemed to me that I should have been just another interview for any journalist, producer, or campaign consultant interested in checking out my story and testing my credibility against the facts. In frustration, I also posted what I knew to be the caucus blog site at the New York Times. My expectations was that someone from the Times would call me and follow up on the leads. Wow. Here's a sample of what I was doing in October 2008 to get the word out about Obama's Marxist ideology. I even thought of scheduling my own press conference on the campus of Occidental College through their campus Republican Club. Internally, I was conflicted by the urgency of what I knew and the sense that it was best for the story to break out in a manner supportive of the McCain campaign. So here we have, folks, a young man or man who was a leftist, a Marxist, a socialist. And as I read the article to you, I learn myself as I go along. I did not pre-read this article. I didn't want to prejudge it first. I want to go ahead and read it and get as much as I can. So read it as you're hearing it. So it's my idea that this young man was a socialist, a Marxist, perhaps even a communist. And he saw the error of his ways. And he turned conservative, capitalist. It's not hard to believe. Think about this for a minute. Dig it. Fox News. News Corp. Owner, CEO, big cheese, big honcho. As a young man, as a child, was a socialist. He was a Marxist. He was downright communist. Yes, I'm talking about Rupert Murdoch. He was socialist and Marxist and communist and all that rolled into one big old ball right up until the time he needed some money. Yeah. He realized that the only way he was actually going to get money and power, him, was to actually work for it. You know, he put a few schemes in play. Read the book. I'm referencing the book Clash of the Titans, the battle between Rupert Murdoch and Ted Turner. Their early lives right up until present day are completely detailed in that book. This is where I'm getting my information from about Rupert. He was Marxist, socialist, all of that. Now he's uber capitalist, and Fox News tells the story, doesn't it? So apparently the guy who is writing this article has seen the error of his ways as well. So here we have, he said, what shocked me about my experience in the summer of 2008 is that I thought my experience at Williams College, as a Williams College political science professor, my small business owner status, and my visibility in the Orange County community would allow my message to immediately go to the very top of the McCain campaign. I thought my story would be welcomed by Fox News. He goes on to say, since then, things have slowly gotten better. My story on the young Marxist Obama have appeared in Michael Savage's Trickle Up Poverty, Paul Kinger's Dupes, Stanley Kurtz's Radical in Chief, and Jack Cashel's Deconstructing Obama. He goes on to say, nevertheless, I think there is something broken in our media and campaign system. I do not think most independents or conservatives understand or fully appreciate the tremendous advantages the left derives from having the mainstream media serve as the fully paid, completely sympathetic, Dan Rather level opposition research team for the Democrat Party. It is a system that methodically ignores damaging information about flawed candidates like Senator John Edwards and Representative Anthony Weiner, while elevating minor errors among Republicans to the status of Watergate investigations. Hear, hear. He goes on to say or write, if Republicans are going to win in 2012, I think they need to make some changes so that they are more friendly to the whistleblowers bringing them bad news about Obama and about the Obama administration. He goes on to say, personally, I would like to see Republicans create new ways to collect negative news stories on liberals by, one, including web pages requesting opposition research from leakers, establishing guidelines for leakers to help them give campaign decision makers the confidence to pursue appropriate leads, and, number three, instituting feedback mechanisms so leakers have some minimal assurance that they have been heard by top campaign managers and that their information has been discarded for technical or strategic reasons and not simply because it was overlooked by a careless staff member. Well, John C. Drew, the man who wrote this article and who knew a young Marxist Obama, is an award-winning political scientist and a blogger at David Horowitz's Newsreel blog. Dr. Drew earned his PhD from Cornell and has taught political science and economics at Williams College. Today, Dr. Drew makes his living as an author, trainer, and consultant in the field of nonprofit grant writing, fundraising, and program evaluations. So, there we go. Finally, folks are coming out and talking about the real Obama as if we didn't know. Because now we know. We know now. We've always known. It's always been out there that Obama is a socialist. All that talk about corporate jet owners and fat cats and how much money we should be allowed to keep. How much money we should be allowed to keep. And at some point, he believes that we've made enough money. I mean, come on. If those aren't hints, there aren't any hints. I mean, the hint, I mean, he's telling us right then and there who he is and what he's all about. And now even Democrats are getting off the bus, getting off the bandwagon. Two special elections have come and gone, and Obama and his team are down by two. So what are these guys going to do next? I don't know, because it seems to me like the game is up. The jig is up. How has he come back from this? I know. Don't count Obama out. He's got some tricks up his sleeve. He's not as dumb as we all think he is. I know, I've heard it all before. But hey, dude is sinking, and he's sinking fast. He's not having a good fall here. This has not been a good summer for Obama. Now, there are plenty of us who've said to ourselves and to other people, well, he'll pull it out. He'll figure out a way to win re-election. He'll rig the electorate. He'll do whatever he has to do, but he doesn't have Acorn anymore. He's got a microscope on him now. Back in 2008, he could get away with those things, with those fraud voters, with socialist Marxist groups like Acorn at his back, going out and doing his bidding. Who's he got now? Trumpka or Hoffa saying, we'll be your soldiers? Give us our marching orders? Hoffa? The Teamsters Union? The Teamsters Union is way long in the tooth right around these days. And most Americans now aren't feeling the unions. The unions are persona non grata, especially with the things they've been pulling these last few weeks. Going out, starting fights, using, racial slang. Not slang, but racial epithets toward people. They've lost whatever halo they had, whatever magic the unions had left. They've turned themselves into the bad guys. And now, liberals are suggesting that Obama consider quitting. Who are they going to run? Who could they possibly run besides Obama? I think what we're going to do is during tomorrow's show, we're going to explore that. We're going to do a just suppose. What if Obama decides not to run? Or Obama is pressured not to run, who would take his place? Who would come forward? Who would be a viable candidate for the presidency of the United States of America should Obama be thrown over the side? Any ideas? Hey, we've still got a couple of minutes. 347-884-8500, or tomorrow, come in with your choices. Who do you think the Democrats would run in 2012? Oh, and congratulations to my man David for his show, the 9/11 Crusades, and to Tesla. Great shows these guys put on. They were fantastic, and they were very difficult to follow. Very difficult indeed. But David has his show featured, and I congratulate him on that. So I urge you to listen if you haven't, if you weren't there, if you hadn't had a chance to listen. Listen to David Graham's 9/11 episode, the Crusades. Tesla came up with the idea. Graham took it over. Took hold of it. I got to be a part of it, which I greatly appreciate. And, boy, those guys did such a great job. Michelle Obama is prodding restaurants to reduce portion sizes as her ass gets bigger by the day. I remember when my man Tesla did a show on Michelle Obama. It was hilarious. Tesla, my hat's off to you for that show. Perhaps another one is in order. Because Michelle's ass is getting bigger by the day, and she's telling folks we need to stop chowing down and eat smaller portions. You know, there's a reason why your humble host here dines out at the Cheesecake Factory. Whenever I'm going out, instead of those really fine, trendy restaurants. I don't want to sit at a table where I can see nearly the whole plate. I want my plate to be covered with food. Even if I don't eat it all right there, I want something to take home for later. I want to get my money's worth. At a place like the Cheesecake Factory, I'm always going to have enough to take home. That's what we like. We dig it that way. Nobody's going to go into a restaurant and eat the food with that cute little piece of celery there or that little leaf and then that really tiny little medallion-sized piece of meat and some and a spoonful of new potatoes. Nobody's going to eat that. At this stage, we're trying to get our money's worth, Michelle. Small portion sizes means restaurants going out of business. It's already very difficult to start up a restaurant and to run one. A lot of them go out of business really fast all of the time. But I don't think she cares about that. What she really cares about is her big ass getting bigger while we get thinner. So, hey, folks, we're just about out of time here. I want to thank all my listeners, Beach Bum, for being in the house, Blog Talk King, all of the guests, folks I asked to come in and listen. I actually asked these people to come in and listen to the show, and they did. I told them they didn't have to sign up for an account or anything, but just tune in on their computer. So, and they, apparently a lot of them did. Ned King, Republican Marines, my buddies from Camp Pendleton and from Quantico, Richard Martin, and my main man, Tesler. Thank you guys for being here. I so do appreciate it. I want y'all to have a really great night. And, hey,
American,
thank you.
11, Boston.
God bless you. God bless America. Have a good night.
Earth 7, Mike Lima, how do you hear?
Mike Lima, has you loud and clear?
American 11, Boston. American 1-1, the American on the frequency. How do you hear me?